All right, Andy, that's excellent. Do I have, I have, yeah, I have blue lights. All right, Andy, just put back the cover there for me and we'll begin. The topic I have this morning has absolutely nothing got to do with Easter. It has nothing got to do with the resurrection. This is the sermon that I was going to do on Palm Sunday and that we held over until this Sunday. But it's nothing got to do with Palm Sunday either. So I'll explain as I go along. I'll begin with a scripture verse. But we're not, that is merely the introduction, and we'll go on from there. So, all right, I'll come back to that at the end. But here's our verse. No one has seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. That is 1 John 4:12, reading from the New Living Translation. Our title and theme this morning is this: time and space. Background to what has coming. Down through the years, you've heard me talking about people. The occasional web listener who ring me up, sometimes they have rung me up with a song, and sometimes I use the song, sometimes I don't. Sometimes they have rung me up with scriptures, and sometimes I have used them. I still have some yet to use. You know, you get stuff and you just, if the Lord brings it to life, you move with it, and until he does, I just leave it there. I'm always very happy for any contributions that I get. The contribution that I'm going to give you this morning came in a most unusual way. This actually came from a web listener, and I'm going to give it to you exactly the way I received it. Is that fair enough? This is exactly the way I received it. So a month ago, on a Thursday night, I was getting ready to go to the Thursday night group. Phone rang, and a web listener that I know very well rang, and she said, pen and paper and take down the following. No, I haven't got that before. Usually, you know, someone could ring and say, I have a verse or I have a song. I have no idea what it means. And they just say, I leave it with you. That's fine. Pen and paper. And this is what she dictated to me. And this is what I had wrote down and had to correct it a few times and to make sure I had it right. And this is what we end up with. It's called Time and Space. That's my title, by the way. My title. So, this is how it began. When my head is in a place that has no face, who or what do I see? A soul in a dark hole, I tell myself, just me alone in this place. When that face has no space for my face, who or what does it see? Time and its space is in the race. It has no time to see. Hold on for the ride, for time is willing to hide. Let's hope I'm not tired to see time as hired. Signed, myself, face, time, and space. The person who dictated that to me did not actually write it. It was written by somebody else. So she literally called it out to me exactly the way I have given it to you. And then she asked the question, what do you think it means? And I eventually gave it the title, Time and Space. A word of prayer. Lord, you do and speak to us primarily through your word. We acknowledge that. But Lord, you are not limited just to your word. Sometimes, Lord, you'll take a song. Sometimes you take a poem to illustrate, Lord, the scriptural principles that we are already familiar with, or sometimes, Lord, maybe even over-familiar with. And Lord, you come at it just from a different angle to give us, Lord, a fresh perspective. Or Lord, to reinforce, Lord, an understanding that is already there, but just, Lord, to help us to understand in maybe a slightly different and sometimes, Lord, a fresher way. Lord, we thank you this morning for what has been given to us. And Lord, we are here, and our sense really is, this was given to me, and Lord, and given to us. And through this, Lord, I firmly believe you are saying something to us. Our prayer, as always, that you speak to us in new life. And to the web listeners, and thank you, Lord, for this contribution this morning. We know they're out there and that they are listening. We pray too, Lord, that they will be enlightened somewhat as a result of having listened to all of this. And all of God's people said. Now, how many of you would like the task of trying to interpret that poem and say, what does it mean? So what I'll do is, I'll give it to you all in one go, and I'll read it again from top to bottom. Is that okay? Without stopping. When my head is in a place that has no face, who or what do I see? A soul in a dark hole, I tell myself, just me alone in this place. When that face has no space for my face, who or what does it see? Time and its space is in the race. It has no time to see. Hold on for the ride, for time is willing to hide. Let's hope I'm not tired to see time as hired. Signed, myself, face, time, and space. Quite a deep poem, would you agree? Would some people say a cryptic poem? How many people, honestly now, can say, before I go any further, can relate to that? A few already. Actually, as we go through it, you'll see pretty much all of us will be able to relate to most of it, if not all of it. So as I looked at this, then what I did, you'll be glad to hear, I went back to, well, my web listener came back to me, of course, to see how I was getting on with this. And eventually, I got to speak to the actual person who wrote the poem. So what you have this morning, I give it to you, is the author's intent, not mine. Is that better, isn't it? Because otherwise, look, I could give you my best and I could still be a long ways away. To understand this poem, you must understand the background. Now, the background is not something that you get from that straight away. The background is two Christians, mature Christians meeting. One is treating one to as a gift. Actually, the gift is a meal out. So two mature Christians meeting for a meal out. Christian A is providing the meal. It's their suggestion, it's their prerogative. Christian B would have been very happy with other stuff, but is not really in a position to say no. The poem is written as a result of what occurred that night. I think it's incredibly sad that people end up in this situation. It needn't be, it shouldn't be, but the problem is it does happen. And I'm sure as I go through it, you'll identify with it and say, that has happened to me too. So, after interviewing the person, I had made a stab at it myself, and when the person came back to me and said, what do you think it means? And I said, I think it's about time and space, but it's about one thing, it's about being included and excluded. I wasn't far from it. See, when my head is in a place that has no face, who and what do I see? Now, these people are sitting across from each other. They're literally looking into each other's faces. This is not an abstract situation. This is real. They're literally sitting across the table from each other. The composer of the poem said, when my head is in a place that has no face, who and what do I see? And that's the question, isn't it? And here's the answer. Being included and excluded at the same time. Have you ever been at a place and say, what in the heck am I doing here? Why was I invited in the first place? This has almost nothing got to do with me, actually, though the gift may be for me, it's primarily for the actual person who gave it. Being included and being excluded at the same time. Has that happened to you? You're with people and they have included you in, but you feel not needed there, not wanted there. Nothing is said, but that's the way it is. And I've seen that happen several times in Christian circles. So glad to have you, and 2 minutes are gone. Included and excluded. So when my head is in a place that has no face, well, what do I see? We ask the question, if you're there and the person is looking at you and don't actually even see, and you know, though you're there, and it's meant to be for you, actually it is for the person themselves. This is how the composer of the poem put it, as best I can do remember anyway. Being physically present, but absent in every other way. when you are in a situation, you realize that you're included, but you're actually excluded. You end up, you're physically present because you can't get out of the place because protocol doesn't allow it. But you're absent in every other way, mentally, emotionally. And you're asking, if I was in the situation, is what in the heck am I doing here first of all? Why was I invited? Can you identify with that? Being in a place. You're there physically, but everything else within you, mentally, emotionally, completely absent. No, two mature Christians. I don't think the person who provided the meal was even aware of this, but it was happening right in front of them. Being included and excluded at the same time. You can say to somebody, you're very welcome, and we're glad to have you. And you can say the words, but you know in your spirit, or you know something internally, if the person actually means, or it's merely just words. And when it's just words, and everything incites into the verses, it's a horrendous feeling, isn't it? When that face has no space for my face, who or what does it see? When that face, that's the person looking at the other person, has no space for my face, who or what does it see? That's the question. Person said, it sees me as faceless. Now, it doesn't mean to say that they're looking at him, they can't see their face. That is not what we're saying here. It's saying is the other person has an agenda and is so consumed by it and so driven by it, it doesn't even see who and what is in front of them. This is meals for you. Actually, it's not for you at all. It's actually for me. And there's the person saying, what does this see? Doesn't even see what's going on. Faceless. The question is, how does that make you feel? Because I'm sure you can identify with that. You go with certain expectations, or maybe with some expectations, to discover this thing is actually completely the other way around. There's actually an agenda here. No, I'm not saying that it's bad, you know, I'm not saying the person was evil. I'm just saying there was an agenda, there was all that. But there was the pretense that this was actually for the other person, when all along, actually, it was. And the other person is so consumed with what's happening inside and stuff, wanting to get stuff out and all of that. They don't even see the other person, faceless. How does that make you feel? Well, time and its space is in the race. It has no time to see. See, there's no slowing down for anything or anyone. This is the time, this is the space. This is what's allocated. What needs to happen here will happen here. And that happens. Time and its space is in the race. It has no time to see. So it's all about time and it's about space. But the gift was for person B, who wrote the poem. But what's controlling all this is person A. Time and space. This is the time, this is the space. This is what needs to happen here. No slowing down for anything or anyone. Has that happened to you? You've gone into a situation. Next thing you discover, thought was for you. It's not. It's for them. What about me? They don't even see you. I don't mean that badly. I just mean they don't see you because there is stuff going on. And as far as they're concerned, this is the time, this is the space. And they ain't going for it. Now, that's okay if it's set up for that. You know what I mean? It's okay. But if it's set up for a social and a thank you as a Christmas gift, it's a very different ballgame, isn't it? Hold on for the ride, for time is willing to hide. This is now the person B's response. Because they can't do anything about it. It's happening right in front of them. So the key to understanding this is, you're in that situation. It is what it is. It is not what it was meant to be or what it was said it was going to be, but it now is what it is. So how do you deal with that, apart from blowing a fuse? Which, may I say, would not be acceptable in this situation. It would actually be detrimental. So what do you do? Hold on for the ride, for time is willing to hide. Acceptance is the key here. The author of the poems realized, people are not going to give me their time. I thought it was my time. Oh, no. It's the other person's time. Because time and space. Has that happened to you? Can you identify with that? It's actually much more real in life, isn't it? I mean, these things happen quite a lot. So that's the key. Next part of it then says this. Let's hope I'm not tired to see time as hard. Signed, myself, face, time, and space. Let me give you the understanding of this. When people realize they're not going to give you your time, then you end up isolated. Even though you're physically present in the company, you're actually isolated. So my time, my face, my space has nowhere to go. Because it's all about person A. It's a pretty sad situation, isn't it? Pretty sad. You'd say if it was two young teenagers setting out or something, you know, just finding their way in life. But it's not like that. So acceptance, people are not going to give you the time. Isolation, my time, my face, my space, has nowhere to go. And what do you do with that? Or how does it make you feel? And let me give you the symbol here, love. You're in a cul-de-sac with it. You have nowhere to go. You have nowhere to go with it. Time and space. No, two people, two situations. Many of us can identify with situation B, of where there's an invitation given, there's certain expectations, and the thing goes pear-shaped. You've heard me saying over and over again that I will not go to any more dinners of where people are asking me about things of God. Gone. No, I will talk to anyone, anywhere, anytime about God. I'll even do a working lunch. I'll do breakfast. I'll do dinner. But let's be honest, if you're picking my brains, say, I want to pick your brains and I want you to know. We'll work on. I'll give you, it couldn't be, it mightn't be that long of a lunch, but then we've picked my brains. But don't invite me in and say we're going to have a social evening and then hijack me. I won't do it, you know that. You know the net effect of this on me is invitations have dried up. But I'm okay with it. I am okay with it. If Michael D. Higgins rang me up tomorrow morning, asked me for dinner, and he wanted to discuss God, I'd say, business or pleasure? If it's business, we'll do business. And we'll call it a walking dinner. If it is pleasure, let's call it what it is, pleasure. But don't set me up for one thing and do the reverse. But you know why people do that? Because time and space. We're together. We might as well make good use of the what? The time. It's not very nice. But I understand why people do it. Now, has that happened to you? The answer is probably yes. No, but that's one side of it. No, don't put up your hands to listen because I don't want to know. Have you done that to somebody else? Maybe not intentional, but it just happened that way. You met somebody before them and next thing you start talking and there was no shutting you up. I don't mean that badly. There was something going on and just, you know, you wanted to get it out, get it done. And your person walks away with nothing and say, time and space. Time and space included but excluded at the same time. People can say the right thing, socially the right thing, sounds good, but the reality is it can be completely the opposite of what's actually happening. I was reading 1 John for myself when I was thinking about this. 2 mature Christians. Scripture has so much to say about time and space. So much. If we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. No, let me ask a question. We're not judging the person, but was their love shown to person B that night? No. Does person A know this text? Absolutely. I'm not saying that in judgment, I'm just saying they do. I know it. If I have done it, you know it. One. And this is just me reading 1 John, like, you know, Lord. Next thing that came up against, I said, We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Do you know how love is spelt with children? Time. Do you know how love is spelt with other people, for the most part? Time. If we say, and I'm talking to myself here, you say you love and you're not willing to give time, well, there's something wrong. Something wrong. Another verse, again, 1 John. And these are just kind of there. I mean, I'm not even going into the background. The background is even worse. We'd be much more convicted, you know, just to put them up there. Dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show love. Let us show the truth by our actions. Dear children, let us merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. What did those actions say that night? No time. Aren't you glad I was just reading 1 John 3? I was kind of glad myself. I kind of was, you know, because I could say, both people. And the verse that I began with. No one has seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. Look, knowledge of God is different. People can be very knowledgeable and have a great theology, a great amount of theology and correct theology in them. But if they ain't love, that theology and that expression of it is incomplete at its very least. All that needed to be said on that night was person A says, look, this needs to be a working thing because I have things here I want to throw out to you, and can I grab your wisdom for what it's worth? Thing will be sorted. But it's about time and space. I'm almost finished. Life lessons. Is there life lessons for us in that poem? There's certainly loads of life lessons for us in the scriptures. But in the poem, is there life lessons? Because that's what came first of all, wasn't it? So let me ask you 4 questions. And this will help you to understand everything I've just said, hopefully, right? Number 1 is this. How do you feel when somebody has no time for you? Now, everyone has heard that on Jesus. That person has no time for me. I'm asking you, how does that make you feel? Because that is about as real and as relevant as it gets. And all of us have experienced that. All of us have. How does it make you feel? Well, let me put it this way, let me make it easy for you. Does it make you feel loved? Certainly not. If somebody has no time for you, it can hurt at the very least. You can even have a sense of rejection. Make you even feel worthless. How do you feel when somebody has no time for you? It sucks, as somebody said. Question number 2. How do you feel when somebody has the time but are always rushing when they are with you? That's a slightly different scenario now, right? The first crowd don't even want to give you the time, so they're not there at all. Second situation is the person is with you and you meet them, but they're always rushing. They're there, checking their phone, Checking things. Oh, let's go. Now, that happens sometimes because that's real life to all of us. But if it is a constant pattern and it's pretty routine, how does that make you feel? When somebody has the time but are always rushing when they are with you. They're not rushing when they're with somebody else, but when you, they always seem to be in a rush. How does that make you feel? Well, it makes me feel they really don't want to be with me in the first place. Or if they do want to be with me, it's only for a very short length of time. And whenever they're looking for me, once they've got it, they're out of there. Some of us have experienced that. I hasten to say some of us have probably have even done it. Question 3. How do you feel when somebody has the time but has no space for you? Now, all this is covered over in very nice words, very nice language, and all of this, right? But there's an awful lot of pretense in it. The reality is they don't have space for you in their life. They have the time, but they don't have the space. You haven't got what it takes for them to see this as valuable. There, for whatever reason, there's not enough in it for them. Any number of excuses. You know they have the time, but they have no space. No, it's never said we have no space. It's put in a different way. But you know when somebody, when you have a brick wall and people will not let you through. That's what this poem is about. That's what it's about. How do you feel when somebody has the time but has no space for you? Doesn't feel good. Doesn't feel good. Last question. Who gets included in your time and space? I have the same amount of time as Jesus had on this earth. 24 hours a day. None of us are shorter time than the duration before us. Life may be busier. So who gets included in your time and in your space? No, you might be asking, why am I bringing this? Person A, who sponsored the dinner for person B, is not even aware of any of this. And the reason for that is because much of life happens this way, and it just becomes a pattern. I'm not offering that as an excuse, I'm offering it merely as an explanation. And just goes on. Now that I have you, and now that you're in front of me. One of the reasons I follow Jesus, he has always got time, and he's always got space for me. None of us can meet everyone's needs. The Lord is not asking us to do that. The Lord is fully aware of the time and the space that's available to us all. I think what he's saying to us, though, is let us not pretend. Whatever time we have and whatever space we have, right? That's not the issue. But let us not pretend in that time and in that space that is actually set up as one thing And the reality is, it is completely the opposite as a result. And you end up feeling trapped, unloved, uncared for. All of the time, it is projected as a blessing, or at least a thank you to you. Time and space. Be careful about including and excluding at the same time. Saying the right words, but emotionally being very different inside. A word of prayer, and then I'm finished with my time and space. It's over. Lord, what can we say other than we've all got it wrong at times? Sometimes, Lord, it was unintentional. It just happened that way. We didn't mean for it to happen, but it happened and we got up and running and there was no stopping us. Sometimes, Lord, we're not even aware, maybe, Lord, of the unintentional hurt that we have caused. But, Lord, the truth of the matter is, hurt has been caused. But, Lord, we can readily identify with being in a situation and having expectations, and Lord, the expectations were not unrealistic, they were quite realistic with what was being said. And Lord, we end up being faceless people, being included, but Lord, we were really excluded, and we were asked the question, why did they invite me in the first place? And Lord, we know what that feels like at times. So, Lord, we bring all of this before you and ask, Lord, that you would help us to be inclusive and not just say the words, but to actually mean it. And, Lord, if we don't mean it, then, Lord, give us the grace to just keep our mouth shut and at least not do any damage that way. Lord, forgive us for the times, Lord, of where we have taken advantage of situations for our own benefit. Because it was the time, it was the space, and Lord, we were too indifferent to set up another meeting at another time. Couldn't be bothered. Now is the time to do it. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive and more sensitive, Lord, as we meet with people, as we interact. Lord, we're never going to get it spot on. But Lord, we pray for an increase of sensitivity and greater clarity. And Lord, even a greater measure of love towards the other people. And all God's people said, I used the poem with the person's permission. I have to say that first of all. I've got to say that. I wouldn't have used it otherwise.